My God, but summer conjunction makes life worth living, he thought. A time when he could prove himself again and again. The tier crop had been one of the best ever. The estate had made its usual financial killing. He had tumbled nearly a dozen young girls from the Grove teams. The meteorological reports were predicting a humid month ahead, which meant a good second harvest. Young Joshua's audacious Mayo proposal could only add to the family's wealth and influence. The only blot on the horizon was the reports coming out of Boston on the disturbances. It looked like the Democratic Land Union was stirring up trouble again. The Union was a motley collection of reformists and political agitators, a semi-subversive group who wanted to see land distributed fairly among the people, the foreign earnings from the sale of Norfolk tiers invested with social relevance and full democracy and civil rights awarded to the population. And free beer on Friday nights too, no doubt, Grant thought caustically. The whole blessing of a confederation of 800-plus planets was that it gave people a massive variety of social systems to choose from. What the Democratic Land Union activists failed to appreciate was that they were free to leave for their damned communistic workers' paradise as soon as the work-shy little buggers earned enough cash to pay their passage. But oh no, they wanted to liberate Norfolk, no matter how much damage and heartache they caused in the process of peddling their politics of envy. A chapter of the Democratic Land Union had tried to spread its sedition in Stoke County about 10 years ago. Grant had helped the county's chief constable round them up. The leaders had been deported to a Confederation penal planet. Some of the nastier elements, the ones found with homemade weapons, had been handed over to a squad of special operations constables from the capital, Norwich. The rest, the pitiful street trash, who handed out leaflets and drank themselves into a coma on the Union-supplied beer, had been given 15 years hard labour in the polar work gangs. There hadn't been sight or sign of them on Kesteven ever since. Some people, he thought sagely, just never learn. If it works, don't try and fix it. And Norfolk worked. He kissed the crown of Carmitha's head. When do you leave? Tomorrow. Most of my family has already left. There's fruit-picking work in Hearst County. It pays well. And after that? We'll winter over in Holbeach. There are many deep caves in the cliffs above the town, and some of us get jobs in the Harbert Market gutting fish. Sounds like a good life. Don't you ever want to settle down? She shrugged, thick hair sloshing about. Be like you, tied to your cold stone palace? No, thanks. There might not be much to see in this world, but I want to see it all. Better make the most of the time we've got, then. She crawled on top of him, calloused hands closing round his limp penis. There was a pathetic scratching knock on the caravan's rear door.
"Sir, are you there, sir?"
William Elphinstone asked. The voice was as quavery as the knock. Grant chopped back on an exasperated groan. "No, I'm not in here. That's why my bloody horse is outside."
"What do you want?"
"Sorry to bother you, sir, but there's an urgent phone call for you at the house. Mr. Butterworth said it was important. It's from Boston." Grant frowned. Butterworth wasn't going to send anyone after him unless it was genuinely important. The estate manager knew full well what he was up to at slack time like this. He was also wily enough not to come looking himself. "I wonder what young Elphinstone has done to annoy him," Grant thought irreverently. "Wait there," he shouted. "I'll be with you in a minute." He deliberately took his time dressing. No damn way was he going to come dashing out of the caravan, tucking his shirt into his trousers, and give the lad something to tell all the other junior estate managers. He straightened his tweed riding jacket, smoothed down his mutton chops with his hands, and settled his cap. "How do I look?"
"Masterful," Carmitha said from the bed.
There was no detectable irony. Grant fished around in his pocket and found 2 silver guineas. He dropped the gratuity into a big china bowl sitting on a shelf beside the door as he went out. Louise watched her father and William Elphinstone ride up to the front door. Grooms appeared and took charge of the horses.
From the way the animals were sweating, it had been a hard ride. Her father hurried into the house.